This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and live to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
All right. As we record this, just over 24 hours until the Wolves and Suns tip off game one. You and I are going to be at Target Center, sports dad Judd Zolgad. I know Kyle Tighe is going to be there, and he's going to be doing stuff with both Dane Moore and with Flagrant Howls during the playoffs. And so we're excited to be inside Arakis Arena, but we figured let's jump on here, give people a quick episode, some feedback Friday, just some last minute talkers and thoughts before this potentially epic playoff series.
Mm-hmm.
Are you pumped for this, by the way? I think the arena is going to be on fire tomorrow.
Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. It's going to be, I mean, I think it's safe to say that it has been electric for most of the season. Mm-hmm. But if the electricity was, let's say, consistently at a 6 or a 7, it's going to be an 11. I think it's going to be fantastic. And like Wolves fans have proven, they're loud. They can get crazy. I think there is a lot of reasons to be excited. And I know that there's doom and gloom and blah, blah, blah. But my big thing, too, is I am so interested when that ball tips off. I am so interested to see the strategy because I am convinced it's not going to be the same as what we saw on Sunday. And if Chris Finch withheld ideas, good for him. I would rather have lost that game to win the war.
Yeah, absolutely. And so Jim Pete came on yesterday with Kyle and I, and he had to be a little careful because he had a chance to watch some practice. So he didn't want to give away any secrets or strategies, but he said, I like some of the things that I am hearing and seeing about what the Timberwolves may do to counterpunch here. So what I wonder is, and we'll get into the feedback stuff here, but it feels like Nickeil Alexander-Walker is a huge piece that you probably have to ramp up minutes. Like instead of him getting he averages like 23 minutes a game. Does he need to be like a 30-plus minute guy in this series? Because he's 6'5". He's a tenacious defender. You could put him on any number of different players. Devin Booker maybe being the number one. There's been some conflicting stats, but like most of the stats will tell you that Booker has a hard time when guarded by Nickeil Alexander-Walker. So if you start to break this on, say, okay, more minutes for Nickeil Alexander-Walker, and you're going to want Jaden McDaniels out there for defensive reasons, and you're certainly not going to reduce Anthony Edwards' minutes, but also Mike Conley as a three-point shooter to just keep up in the arms race in this, and as a floor general, I don't know that you're taking a lot of minutes away from him. So could you see a lot more of this smaller lineup where it's Conley, Nickeil, Jaden McDaniels, Anthony Edwards, and then one big man? When Kat's out there, now you got five guys who can shoot threes at the same time. Your defense might be a little bit less. But and when Rudy's out there, you've got perimeter defenders that are way better than he had in Utah running around. And then if that happens, what does it look like for Nas, for Kat, and for Gobert's minutes? Just throw the ball up already, man. I want to see what they do.
I know it. Well, and that's the potential personnel structure that can get you through the first round, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you would go to Kat and Nas and say, guys, sorry. I mean, the entire playoffs, your role is going to fundamentally and completely change. It's basically just the Suns. So my response, if I'm Chris Finch and everyone, including Kat, talks like this. So you talk the talk, you walk the walk, has to be whatever gets us through this.
Yep.
Because then if you get to the second round, it goes back to probably far more what the Wolves envision as the structure from a personnel standpoint that they like, right?
Yeah, because if you play Lakers or Nuggets, you want to be big again. You want to be able to throw size out.
It's not like, oh my God, if we're going to get to the finals, the lineup has to completely change. But no. I do think that the Suns present an opportunity where you're going to have to get creative. And the good thing about that loss on Sunday is it was basically like a pie slammed in your face, right?
you have to sit on that, feel that for the entire week.
But it's recent enough where you're like, if we don't do something, like if Kat's like, oh man, this isn't what I thought. It's like, hey, Carl, you played in Sunday's game.
Yep.
Did you see it?
Yep. Yep. And we'll get to a Kat thing here, but let's start with Michael Eberhart emails us through the feedback tab in the Score North app. He found an article. He said, this article is the stat porn you guys need to go through for the Wolves championship odds. We love ourselves some stat porn on the show here. So this is from thescore.com, and they, I'll spare you going through the whole thing, but they basically took all of the playoff teams and they ran them through the filter of four different categories. Their regular season win profile, which includes regular season win percentage, point differential, record versus winning teams, and compared to history, the last 20 years.
Okay.
And then they looked at every playoff team's offensive profile, so their net offensive rating, their three-point rate, their the effective field goal percentage, and then their defensive profile, and then their star talent. Because if you look up and down, more often than not, you have like someone who's considered one of the top 10 to 15 players, if not top five players in the NBA on your team. And they use kind of a bunch of different metrics for that. So
sure,
your regular season win profile, your offensive, defensive profiles, and star talent. And here's the summation. If modern championship history, the last 20 years, is any indication, the Celtics, Nuggets, or Thunder will be crowned NBA champion when the 2024 playoffs conclude. But then they give two potential close outliers, the Dallas Mavericks and the Minnesota Timberwolves. The numbers say Minnesota's offense isn't up to championship snuff. They would be, I think it'd be the lowest offensive net rating in the last 20 years to win a championship.
Sure.
But they have the number one defensive net rating.
Right.
But with Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns leading a deep, well-coached team organized by Mike Conley at the point, it feels like there's enough here to complement their Gobert-led defense. So that's looking at 20 years of numbers and four categories. They think that the Celtics, Nuggets, and Thunder are the three most likely teams based on their profile.
Right.
But don't sleep on the Mavericks or the Timberwolves. No mention at the end of this of the Suns, by the way. Interesting. That's
really interesting. So here's my question though. Doesn't this say what we were just talking about, which is if defense is going to be your calling card in this round, at least you are going to have to come up with a creative way to get past this round.
Yes. And you know, the offensive stuff has been a struggle against the Suns too. I mean, they had a game where they scored 87 points on offense against the Suns.
Right.
But if you just look at the playoffs in general, you've got the number one defensive team in the league, and you also have the third best three-point percentage in the league. The only two teams that shot and made three-pointers, that I should say made three-pointers at a higher rate, were the Thunder and the Celtics. The Wolves shot 39% from downtown, and it's 38.9%, 38.8%, 38.7% separating the top three teams. Mm. So by like a rounding error, the Wolves are one of the three best three-point shooting teams in the league. The difference is the Celtics attempt 10 more threes per game at that rate.
Right.
And that's why they're averaging in large part 7 or 8 more points per game. So can you find a way? This is like with Kat, like, dude, you are a generational three-point shooter.
Playing, but if he's not playing as much, if Kat and Nas don't play as much, do you sacrifice that for the sake of stopping the Suns defensively, or at least giving yourself a better chance to do that?
Perhaps. You could also still get, because it's not like Kat doesn't shoot at a super high volume. So like if you're reducing his minutes, there's been times where like when Naz Reid was playing for Kat, he was averaging like 8 or 9 three-point attempts per game. Kat's more like 5, I want to say.
Right.
So there's a chance that you could still get up the 33 to 35 threes that you should be hoisting up in a game. Some of this is just math.
So you're saying best of both worlds.
It could be. It could be. And you know, on Kat, I think they need him in this series and in the playoffs to play at a really high level if they want to win the series and go further. But when they were missing him for a month, they were still winning at the same percentage. They were winning like 70% of their games. And
well,
it's not as crippling of a blow to have to rest him as like when the Sixers have to rest Joel Embiid or miss him for 2 months, you know?
Well, if you really want to open Pandora's box here, if you really want to throw it wide open, do you play Nas more than Cat in this series?
There's an argument for that.
I know.
And just in terms of quickness of everything.
And getting what you want. Like, that's the thing. With Nas, Cat's a better player. Very clear about that every time. But that being said, if this is a very structured, we're doing things to stop the Suns. Oh, and by the way, we need spacing offensively, a guy to get up threes that we know will take them. There's a case to be made that Nas is a better piece of the puzzle in that case than Cat is, despite the discrepancy in their talents.
Yeah, it is certainly possible. There, it might have to get uncomfortable around here for them to win the series. Matthew Barnett chimes in and says, just wanted to reach out because I'm feeling so stoked right now about being a Timberwolves fan. I need to get it all off my chest before I burst. I watch every game, read every article, watch every YouTube video, every podcast surrounding the team, and I thought I was going to go crazy having to wait a week until the playoffs start, but au contraire, I've been floored by the amount of elite content that's come out this week surrounding the Timberwolves. I was feeling a little bit bummed after that Suns first round draw because I want this team to go deep in the playoffs, but screw that. I'm now feeling so pumped and on fire after this awesome week listening to everyone. Jim Pete on Flagrant Howls yesterday saying he loved what he saw in practice, made the hairs on my neck stand up. Mike Conley's quote about how no one wants this more than him made me want to run through a wall. The Howls and Growls dude's video breakdown on YouTube breaking down the Phoenix matchup made me so much smarter as usual. Johnny K interviewing Tim Connolly. He's very excited. I will say this. There is a lot of great Timberwolves content. I think, you know, there's probably not as much as there is Vikings content in terms of Minnesota sports teams.
It's very smart. It's a
the
very
quality of Timberwolves content is very high, from storytelling to analysis
lots
to whatever we do on this podcast.
Lots of passion. But you know what? I love that note because Timberwolves fans deserve this. Think about this. Like, if you're a diehard fan like you, think about how long you have been waiting for. And I'm not talking just make the playoffs and then inevitably feel like, okay, that's great, but then it's going to end. I'm talking about being in the mix, being right there. For Timberwolves fans, they deserve this. And to their credit, they have, as we have said, this is a great basketball town, and they have come right back out. Target Center, which is sort of a dump, has been rocking. Like, it's just, it's fun to see a fan base finally get rewarded after just being so, the team itself being so dormant for so long.
Yes. And I think there's a lot of reasons to still have hope despite the three games against the Suns in the regular season. But there are guys like Doug Epler who chimes in and he says the Wolves draw for the playoffs is nothing short of heart-wrenching after a great season. This series is going to be everything we prayed to avoid. The Wolves' luck in the playoffs continues. Suns in either 5 or 6. Makes me want to hurl my guts out to say it, but we match up terribly with the Suns. Life of a T-Wolf fan from the start. Being bad and getting bad results, understandable. Being good and getting bad results, especially the last 3 weeks, has been gut-punching. We handed away winnable games, and now comes our just desserts, the Suns playoff series. The Wolves will be a home dog by game 2. I pray I'm wrong, but life of a Wolves fan has taught me to expect the worst. Arg.
Doug, it's going to be okay. And keep Doug. In mind, too, the Western Conference playoffs are going to be a gauntlet no matter who you play.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Yeah, because think about this. If you would have, let's say you would have beat the Suns, I think maybe I'm wrong on this, but I think if you would have beat the Suns, I think you would have been the 2 seed because the tiebreakers would have played out. Oklahoma City would have been the 1. I think you would have been the 2. And now you're playing the Lakers in the first round. And that's not, I'd rather play the Lakers than the Suns, but be careful what you ask for. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, like D'Angelo Russell wide open because of the attention put on LeBron James and Anthony Davis. That's not an easy first round matchup either.
What would it take in this state for us as sports fans to go into playoffs confident? And I understand why we're not, but this woe is me, bad draw, my teams. What's it going to take to go Boston and say, screw it?
Well
that anybody, Boston, I'm just...
Boston, because Boston won every championship in the 1960s, but I mean, they have generations of people that expect...
But what's that line? When do we reach that line where there's a confidence of you've got to come in? I mean, the Wolves have home court. They've got a good team. Yes, they lost 3 times, but I mean, it's 3 right. times.
But if you're, what's funny as I say this, the Celtics have like 1 championship since 1985 or something.
Correct.
So, but they have generations of sports confidence baked in because of all the success they had. And they've also been, they've been competitive a lot more than, you know, teams like the Timberwolves.
Absolutely.
And they also have, they have the Patriots dynasty, and they have
right. So what's it going
to
take?
Bruins and a bunch of, there's like, no reference points to feel good about a Minnesota sports team going
but,
in.
But my question, it's a question: 1 championship, 2 championships, and I'm talking from any team because I agree with you. It becomes a baked in confidence that's not just born from one team, mm-hmm. and I understand the paranoia here. The Wild, first round out. You know, the Vikings can't get back to a. Conference championship game, and the last time they did, they got their drawers blown off. The Twins. So I get it, but I'm saying what's the reference point here? Is it a couple championships? Is it 1 championship?
Well, it's certainly at least 1 because you're going to have to white knuckle it all the way through. And yeah. I think you know this is where like there's a lot of Timberwolves fans who are also Vikings fans, and vice versa. That 98 Vikings team has damaged a generation of fans because. That was the easiest walkthrough 15-1 regular season where you're literally blowing everyone out 42-20.
Right.
And there was, you had 1 loss to the Buccaneers on the road. And you just, you figure if that team can't even make it to the championship round, as right. easy as it was, what other team would do it? So you're going to have to go through like at some point for the Wolves. And I think it will happen with Anthony Edwards at some point that they're going to go play in the NBA finals and maybe win it. But it's not going to be sweep 15-point victories in every game. It's going to be white knuckles, tie game with 30 seconds to go, back and forth, game 6, game 7, do it again in the next round, do it again in the next round. Like
yep.
there's a certain level of sports fan toughness that has to be built up.
Calluses,
yeah.
All right.
And we don't have that. So we tend to be really kind of soft, thin-skinned when it comes to these playoff projections. So I get it. But it, like for this year, I think fans would feel pretty good, say, like, let's say they were going to draw that Pelicans team without Zion, which you could lose to that team too, by the way. But
that's true.
You'd feel like, oh, okay, fine, at least we get a reprieve here or a depleted Kings team or something. But those teams play each other tonight in the Western Conference play-in for the right to play the Thunder.
Kings win.
I think so too. It's really deflating for the Pelicans. Ryan Keel says, hey guys, random question. What is Royce's beef with Anthony Edwards? Yeah, he's not extremely efficient yet, but Royce is going a little over the top on his podcast. I was wondering if there is a reason why he doesn't like Anthony Edwards. Great show. Keep grinding.
I think he thinks he's not a very smart player and he shoots too much, but I mean, I don't know. He's your best player.
He's also like, he's 22 years old and he's a,
I don't
he's
have a problem with him. So
his basketball IQ has shot up in the last 2 years. I mean, he's hunting for the right play on a more regular basis. He's already a good shooter and maybe has potential to be a great shooter, but just think about he's 22. Like I said, he's not going to peak for like 4 more years. What is he going to look like when he's 25, 26 years old? He'll be scoring 30 points a game efficiently.
My only complaint is about Ant is I really wish that he would not complain at officials so much.
I agree.
Because part of the thing, too, is, and I admire this part, part of his game is he goes to the basket and he's strong as hell. So he goes through guys and scores. He would get foul calls if he flopped.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd rather he does what, and yes, it costs him a potential extra point. But doing that, I wish he would say, okay, this is what I do. And so I'm going to get fouled, and often it's not going to be called because there's a basket that results from my actions. I would like to see him back off of the complaints. But as far as a player goes, I mean, largely as he goes, so goes your team. I don't really have a problem with him at all.
Yeah, it is a little, on one hand, it does feel like there's two or three times a game where he clearly got fouled, and I agree with that, but it can cost a possession on the other side. There's a human aspect to finessing the officials, and Cat's been kind of bad at that in his career. And so, but in terms of his basketball game, he's levels better than he was at the beginning of last year, at the beginning of his career.
Hell of a pick. Because there were options there. Hell of a pick.
Yep. And Gerson. He hit to this point. Shout yeah. Gerson kind of built the framework of this thing a couple
other
of
than
ago.
Other than D'Angelo, just I guess not being much beyond that, Gerson Rosas. And I know he blew the Culver pick, but he did a lot of good things for this franchise.
He
did.
He built like the ground floor of this team getting back to the playoffs. And then Connelly took it and has built like the other levels.
Thing worked. So.
Yeah, and Kyle Anderson is Tim Connelly. Mike Conley is Tim Connelly.
Yep, you're right.
Okay, I got one more here. Just a quick episode. McKay Parsons wants to talk about Cat. Longtime listener to Purple Daily, brand new listener to Flagrant Howls. Is Cat to Flagrant Howls what Kirk Cousins was to Purple Daily? Again, I'm a new listener. I'm just going off the tone of a couple episodes so far that we're kind of... I would say that's a pretty good comparison. We were hard on Kirk Cousins because he was a really good player that was paid and expected to be something more than he wound up being. And so rather than just evaluating him as like one of the top 15 quarterbacks in the world, well, based on how much money he made relative to the salary cap and some of the shortcomings early in that contract where he just wasn't as good of a quarterback. Yeah, we've been hard on him. I think I've probably been even more so hard on Cat. We talk about Kirk more because Purple Daily is literally 365. But speaking for myself, because Cat was a number one overall pick, super max player eventually, who looked like he was on a trajectory after the first two or three years to be one of the top 5 or 10 players in the league, because his career sort of curbed off before he has gotten to that point, I've been hard on him. Yes. At age 28 with Cat, we're still talking about how can he fit into a series
or
against the Suns.
Period.
But like, how can a 28-year-old Supermax player fit into a series versus with other players? It's how can you, as a team, stop a Jokic, stop an Embiid, right? Like it's a different conversation for these big men.
Personally, I feel like I've backed off Cat a lot because
I have too, by the way.
It's not really his team now, and he can still be very, very good. I guess my only complaints with Cat now are how he, to use the term that you just did, fits in. But I also feel like my expectations have changed.
Yeah.
Because Ant is the guy now. And in fairness, too, this is just a far more complete team. So it's like if Carl has an off game or off night, it doesn't cost you or it doesn't have to. But yeah, I think that I think with Kirk and Carl, there's a common frustration at times with the perception of because they both have defenders and it's like the player's not as good as you think. But I also think probably since about halfway through last year when Cat got hurt last year, I think we backed off a lot. The only thing that I think we've ripped him for in that time was his after that Hawks game last year, saying it's like
this
a movie.
Is what, this
I
is what
came
movies
back.
Are made
it's
of.
Like, yeah, it's like yeah. It's like it's like come on, dude. But beyond that, my feelings about Cat and my expectations have changed because it's not like as Cat goes, so the franchise goes. It's far more like if Cat fits in, that's great. But it's why I think it's a fair conversation to say against the Suns, should Nas's role actually be a bit bigger role? If you see that as criticizing Cat, that's your right. But yeah, to me, it's just a personnel discussion.
I think there's a lot of people that just consider any sort of critique of a player on your favorite team that is somehow hating or attacking. Okay. I'd like to say that it's just a conversation that's rooted in truth and observation.
Right.
And like there was, I should have pulled this one too. There was a comment from one of the Flagrant Howls episodes earlier this week on the YouTube side that was, I'm summing it up because I don't have it in front of me, but it was, wow, you guys better come with that same energy. If Anthony Edwards doesn't live up to the billing in these playoffs, you better come with that same energy. You're always, it's like, wait a second. To this point, the evidence that we have in their careers is that Anthony Edwards rises up in the playoffs relative to regular season performance and Carl shrinks relative to regular season performance. That has been a cold, hard truth and fact the last few years.
Right.
If that changes and Anthony Edwards is a dud in this series and goes 3-for-15 a bunch of times and is completely taken out of it, that becomes part of his story, his growth story as a player. And it deserves to be criticized. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to preemptively bring that same, energy to a guy that to this point has only leveled up in the playoffs. Again, if they get beaten 5 games, gentlemen sweep, and Anthony Edwards is a dud, we'll have that conversation as we go along.
Right.
But to this point, that hasn't been the reality.
Ant has had bad games, and it's been talked about. So, like, yeah, to me, it's not a personal attack. To me, it is the reality of who played well, who didn't, or, to put it simply as possible, why did the team lose and were you part of the problem?
Yep. So, all right, tomorrow, Target Center, you and I will be there. We're planning on going live from Target Center after the game on the Score North YouTube channel for Flagrant Howls. And we will have pretty darn near daily Flagrant Howls content coming at you with the Wolves in the playoffs here. So we'll keep you posted on that. But he's the sports dad, Judd Zulgad. I'm Phil Mackey. And this is a Timberwolves Lifestyle Podcast.